flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I think Met fans need to get over Pete Alonso, BT. I mean, it's been going on forever, and maybe it comes to a resolution as early as today, where reports yesterday were that the Blue Jays and Alonso were at the 10-yard line. I'm not sure I'm even buying that. I think the Mets put out a very good offer, the best offer Pete Alonso will get. But, I mean, I still feel like Met fans are holding out hope here that Pete's coming back. I think it's just time to move on. Let it go. Pete, go find somewhere else to go. And the Mets need to replace him eventually. But my God, like, enough already with the Pete Alonso stuff. This side, that side. The Mets made their offer. That's it. He didn't want it. Time to let it go.
Okay, you know where I stand from a baseball perspective. Everybody does. That's been made very clear for just about 2 years here on the show. All right. But there's a sensitivity to this particular situation that I certainly understand the rawness of a lot of Met fans and the emotions of a lot of Met fans. Now, I think that that'll certainly be offset when they actually get a bat to protect Juan Soto. So I think part of it is the realization that Pete is just about gone, okay? But also I think it's further coupled by the thought and more, not even the thought, the fact that as of now, you know, the lineup appears slightly inferior to a year ago in the eyes of some, but if it's not, I think they're still waiting on a big move. So I think it's part like the sentiment of losing Pete, which I get, but it's also like, okay, you haven't really done much since Juan.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Well, I mean, they've built a team here the same way that they've built
a team. Offensively.
Yeah, okay.
Just
offensively. Well, they were waiting on Pete to make a damn decision. Like, how this is against the Mets, I just don't understand it. And the love affair with Pete Alonso, like, that's what I'm trying. Even Beningo. Oh, forget Guerrero. I want to bring my guy back. Like, come on now. What are we talking about? You have the chance to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. potentially, and you're going to want Pete Alonso? And I got news for you, and this is the biggest point today. The Mets tried to bring Pete Alonso back multiple times. The Mets want Pete Alonso to come back. Do they want him to come back to a point where they're going to go give him the money that Juan Soto got, relatively speaking? No, they really, really, really wanted Juan Soto, so they went to the extent and the level that they did to make sure they got him, just like other teams, including the Yankees, did. Nobody is doing that for Pete Alonso. Doesn't mean Pete sucks. It doesn't mean Pete's worthless. It means his market isn't what he thought it was going to be. Whether it was his prior agency last time when he turned down the deal a couple years ago, whether it's Scott Boras and his buffoonery. And by the way, this is a pattern with Scott Boras. Mm-hmm. Like, this is repeated. He tells his clients, you're going to get more money. His clients end up taking shorter-term deals.
Chapman, Snell, a couple years ago.
That may eventually get there over the next couple years. Like, the Mets offered Pete a 3-year, and then I was hearing yesterday that was a little bit, remember the Baerga report?
Yeah.
3 for $90?
Yeah.
And then I was told from a industry source that was accurate, 3 for $90. Now, I don't know the breakdown of the deal, and that's like, you know, how much of that's deferred, whatever, what are the opt-outs? Mm-hmm. I was just told, oh, the 3 for $90 that was floated out there was accurate. Then I started to doubt that, even though I heard it from a trusted industry source. I started to doubt that because first of all, he wasn't taking it, which to me was like, why wouldn't you take 3 years, $30 million a year? Like, what are you thinking? You're not getting that. And then the report came out that the Mets offered $368, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there was more in that. Now, it might have been with deferrals, but that, like, where is Pete getting 3 for $90 or 3 for $100? He's not getting it. And you want the Mets to go to that extent when nobody else is doing it? It's just foolish. And that's one part of it. Overpaying for what the market says. for this player is the biggest part.
So there's the money, and then there's the skill set, which is very one-dimensional, which is why I've always been reluctant to, you know, for the Mets to marry Pete. Listen, I think Met fans have to ask themselves this one question, all right? And it's not so much, do you think the Mets want Pete? Because that's been positioned a lot. Like, that's
what
a common...
What do you think?
No, my answer is I don't think that they really want Pete.
That's where we disagree. I do think that they want him, but just not even, like, at a discount. I think they want him back at a little more than market value, which is, like, more than fair in my mind. Anyway,
I understand. And listen, I go back to what I've said for a while. I think they like him. I don't think they love him. I think they want to date him. I don't think they want to marry him, right? So, but when I ask the question, because this is what I see, when I say to the Met fan, do you think that the Mets really want Pete Alonso back? Now, I heard what you just said, and you might be right. I think it's more, though, the route that they took, I think this is very well-crafted, very orchestrated, and very deliberate and by design. I think that the offer, whatever, whether it was 390 or whatever that first offer was, right, from Baerga, I think that they floated that early enough in free agency where it was out there, so they scratched that PR box. All right, Mets offered a deal here for Pete. But it was never strong enough where Pete was going to bite. And then I think that they worked this into their calculus here. Like, I think that they factored in that once Pete rejected that and Pete was almost offended by how low the money was, and certainly the years, that he wouldn't really be very gung-ho about remaining there, which is what I don't think they wanted anyway. I don't think they ever wanted Pete, but I don't think it was very easy to divorce because of he was drafted, what he means to the Met fan, and they're well aware of that. They're not dumb.
It's similar to DeGrom, where that whole thing, I think the Mets wanted DeGrom back at that time for what they wanted to pay, what they thought was fair market value. DeGrom never really wanted to be here. And Pete may not, at this point, want to be here because he feels like he's disrespected, his feelings are hurt, whatever it may be. And by the way, I would understand that.
Me too.
If I'm Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
But I also trust the Mets here to do the right thing. Pete had multiple opportunities. They offered him at the time 2 years ago a more than fair market value deal for the 7-160. It was on par with Matt Olson and Freddie Freeman, whatever it may be. He turned it down, and then he stunk essentially for 2 years. Okay, 217. And then last year he didn't have the power numbers where the average was up a little bit. He drove for what? 80-something ribbies. 87 RBI. I mean, that's not what you're going to pay hundreds of millions of dollars for. So a lot of things happen here that Pete is at fault for, not the Mets. And I do believe, and it could be semantics, and we're going to find out. Because if the Blue Jays go out there, or whoever, but the Blue Jays are on the quote-unquote 10-yard line, what could go wrong on the 10? I don't know. I mean, we've seen guys drop balls from the 2 to cost themselves games, Mark Andrews. But what could go wrong? Okay, well, we don't know. If the Blue Jays give Pete, let's say, 5 years, 150.
Yeah, give him 5.
Okay, but
go ahead.
4 years, 120.
Yeah, maybe.
Then we could say, you know what, the Mets miscalculated here. They were in the wrong. He did get more.
I still don't think it would be a miscalculation because I still think it would be intentionally low.
The Blue Jays would overbeat.
Yeah, I really believe this. Like, I think what the Mets offered him was enough to say, all right, we tried, but nowhere near enough to incentivize him to sign it. And the other thing, too, that I wanted to get back to, and I get it. Like, when he turned down, and he's butchered this a little bit, and he butchered this primarily by having, in too many statistical areas, down seasons the last 2 years, whether it was the batting average a couple of years ago, the RBIs last year, which we've already hit a million times. But when he rejected 7-160, I think it's easy to say that now. Oh, horrible mistake. What are you doing? But let's put ourselves in Pete's shoes at the age of 27, who was on this all-time, and still is to an extent, this all-time prodigious power explosion to start a career. And I can understand why, if I'm him in the moment 2 years ago, you know, 7-160, it's a little light. I'm going to turn this down.
Agreed. But then it was on him to prove he was worth more.
True.
And that's what he did.
No, I agree with you there. He didn't do it.
He proved he was worth less, in fact.
Yep.
And unfortunately,
he had basically confirmed all of our suspicions, which was what those
two
who
years
were,
in a row. Like, he backed it up 2 years in a row.
I know.
He could say he made the All-Star team. It was an All-Star. We watched it last year. Of the impactful Mets last year, we had this conversation during the season many times, and the Mets had a terrific year. It turned out they ended up having a terrific year. Of the most impactful Mets, he wasn't one of them. Now, in the postseason, he was, which is why I think a lot of Mets fans got back in Pete's favor or back on Pete's side. But ultimately, hey, find a better deal. Maybe he will with Toronto. I have mentally moved on from Pete and trust that King Cohen and David Stearns will get better than Alonzo. May not be right now, but eventually they will find a better replacement for Pete.
I've said for a while, you got to let Stearns cook. That's exactly how I frame it. You got to let him cook with a checkbook. We know he can cook without. You've got to trust his decisions. I really applaud. Now, I guess it could change today or tomorrow. Yeah, I guess theoretically Cohen can step in and say, you know what, Dave? We got this fan thing coming up, the Amazing Day tomorrow.
I'm glad you brought that up, BT. And I can't wait for the Amazing Day tomorrow. I'll be out there with Beningo. Yeah. Looking forward to doing that show with him and having a bunch of Mets on.
And Evan and Tiki, Evan and Hoff will be out there doing the pod.
The Rico Bronya podcast. See, that's the thing that you just said that continues to come up, but it has been reported. Now, I guess anything can change. It's life. Things can change. But it has been reported, like, by with fact, that Steve Cohen is not going to
step in. And I respect that.
So a lot of people, though, like Met fans are saying exactly what you said. They're holding out hope, like, or other reporters who are don't have the facts straight are saying, maybe this is where Cohen needs to step in and bring. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not saying that he needs to. I'm not saying that he should. I'm just saying that until Pete either goes to Anaheim or the Blue Jays elsewhere, I leave that door slightly ajar. Again, if I'm Cohen, I wouldn't do it. I'm letting Stearns do his job, and I think that that restraint that Cohen's shown now got to be really tough for him to do because he's a Mets fan. And I know deep down he's got to love Pete, so he's letting his GM do his job. You got to respect that. Real quick before we get the calls, though, again, with Amazing Day tomorrow, and this is what I'm always going to be sensitive to this stuff till the day that I die. Tomorrow is a fan fest, even though it's called Amazing. Yes, it's basically it's a fan fest.
For the Mets fans.
Yep. And I don't know, maybe you can have, I don't know exactly how many people, 8, 10, 12, 15. I'm not exactly.
10 is 10,000. What I heard. I don't know for a fact.
But it's not going to be 500 people. It's going to be thousands upon thousands of people, right? And within that 10 or 12,000 group of people, there's going to be a lot of moms and dads with little kids whose first introduction to Mets baseball was, hey, that's daddy's favorite player. That's Big Pete. That's the polar bear.
Right.
And I get that. So while from a baseball perspective, you and I have always been lockstep, he's just too limited, he's not going to age well, and all the things we've hit a million times, the thing that in a lot of ways is almost as important or in certain aspects more important for me as a dad, you've got some emotions that have been trampled here. And I understand that, and I respect that, and I feel sorry for Met fans. I truly do.
Todd Hundley,
this guy.
Todd Hundley was a fan favorite.
Yep.
He broke a home run record as a catcher, as a New York Met. Mets fans loved him. Homegrown guy. They replaced him with Mike Piazza.
I know. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about today.
I get it, too.
I know there's always somebody better. Vlad would be better.
And by the way, I do think that there still is a... Now, I moved on, but the way that it could still happen, Pete, back to the Mets, is if he comes back and says, you know what, I'll take that offer, whatever you offer.
I want to finish the job with this team. I love being a Met. Let's get it done for this number.
Also, I couldn't find a better offer.
No, but you don't say that.
He's going to have to. Well,
you would know that, but you don't say it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Yeah, I couldn't get anything better. Does that offer still stand? BT and Sal back on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I want to get to some Aaron Glenn stuff. We'll do that later on. Obviously, Championship Sunday, so we'll break down the games. We'll have fun with our picks and all of that stuff, but we are starting with Pete Alonso. The saga continues. Frank is on Long Island. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. What I think's going on here is the owners are pulling a form of collusion because they're willing to pay the Type A free agents because they sell the tickets, they sell the jerseys, and they're telling the Type B, C, and D guys, we're going to set the market. And if you don't like it, take your glove and go home because we'll get somebody else. Because it's been going on for a couple of years now, and I don't think anybody's really paying attention to that.
Well, Frank, let me ask you this, and that's come up a few times, and I don't completely rule it out, but collusion is about the dirtiest word you could have in baseball outside of steroids. So before we go quite that far, at least ponder the possibility of a recalibration within the sport. A de-emphasizing of slower aging corner positions. Like, it could also be a baseball thing.
Yeah, but I mean, even Juan Soto, during his negotiations, said repeatedly, I need to take the most money because it trickles down to everybody else.
Yep.
And the owners are tired of paying arbitration prices to guys that aren't that good.
Well, but that's the point. Guys that aren't that good, and thank you for the call, Frank. If Pete Alonso performed like Juan Soto or Aaron Judge, he would be breaking the bank like those guys did.
Yep.
But teams have gotten smarter. I'm with you, BT. I don't think this is a collusion thing. I think teams have gotten smarter. Why would you go out there and overpay for somebody who is going to start to decline rather quickly? Or so we don't know exactly when it's going to happen with Pete, but he's coming off of 2 bad years already. What do you think? All of a sudden he's going to find the fountain of youth and get better? He's just not that good. And you could say, well, why did Brandon Nimmo get his money? Nimmo got his money because other teams wanted Brandon Nimmo because they valued his skill set. That's why he got the money that he ended up getting. And by the way, that wasn't robust either. Was it an overpay for Nimmo? Maybe, but the market called for Nimmo getting the contract he got at the time. The market is going to dig. Look at what Santander got. You think that's a big-time deal? You see all that deferred money?
I did.
Almost half of it's deferred. He's making peanuts, basically.
I know. Listen, I also saw, though, what Max Fried got because he's a lefty who throws cheese. I saw what Corbin Burns got. Yeah. Adama's got a pretty nice, 7-year deal early from the Giants. Soto got, obviously, $1 gazillion. If you're a star, you get money. That's right. If you are a questionable, in terms of how you'll age or, you know, a de-emphasis of a certain position, like first base or the running back, you're a victim of bad timing, not collusion.
Dave is in Port Jeff. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I can't take the Vlad Guerrero talk anymore, Sal. Really, for the love of God, enough. It's not going to happen. And
why?
If it does happen, it's not going to be until 2026. We're talking about 2025 right now.
Wait, how do you know that it's not going to happen?
You're happy with the Mets. It's not going to happen. They're trying to sign him now.
They're trying to sign him now. Until he does, what makes you think that it's not going to happen?
Because it's not going to happen.
Well, I'm asking you the why. I know what you said. I heard that. Why, though?
Why would Toronto give up Vlad Guerrero now when they're trying to build with Santander and Alonso?
Because they can't sign him.
So how are we going to sign him?
Let me just explain to you how this works, Dave. In the event, and I'll do this as nicely and as easily as possible, in the event that the Blue Jays cannot extend Vlad Guerrero Jr., which you're right, they're trying to do so, there was a deadline set by Guerrero saying, if we do not have an extension by the first day that we report as a team to spring training, I'm not talking extension anymore. You know what that means, right? That means that he's going to go to free agency. So they've got a window from today to the first day that the Blue Jays report to spring training as a team to get an extension. If they don't, and the Blue Jays feel like they can't come to an agreement and they're going to lose him in free agency, then, Dave, they would want to maybe consider doing what?
They're not going to do it.
I thought I led you there. It's not a video game.
And you're happy with...
What does that mean it's not a video game? Hold on. I'm just giving you the... This is like realistic. This is not fantasy stuff. So in the event... I thought you were going to get there. I have to spell it out for you even further. In the event that they don't come to an extension with Vlad Guerrero Jr., the Blue Jays might say, you know what? We can't sign him, just like the Nationals did or the Padres did with Soto. We can't sign him. Therefore, we're going to trade him. The Mets have already inquired about trading for Vlad, and it was more than what was just reported. So there is smoke there. There's also the fact that Soto and Vlad are Dominicans. There's also the fact that Soto, you know, was promised more protection in that lineup. So, no, those are all the facts. Now, until he signs with the Blue Jays.
So, it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Because what you might... It is possible. It is a realistic thing. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue with all that factual information. Go ahead. You have the floor, Dave.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, Dave. I mean, hey, what is the opposite of call of the day? Because that's my that is my nomination right there. Thanks for the call, Dave. He was giving you a chance. Listen, I think it's more, and I said this to you the other day, I think it's more likely, not that I would bet on this, but if I had to look at, I'd say three different scenarios, either with Santander now in the fold, the Blue Jays adding Pete and not trading Vlad by opening day would be one scenario. trading Vlad to the Mets or somebody else before opening day, or trading Vlad before the deadline. Okay. Right. I actually think that there's a better chance that they acquire Pete, they already have Santander, and they don't move on Vlad yet and start the season with Vlad, Pete, and Santander.
Fair enough. And by the way, like, Dave could be right in that if the Blue Jays extend Vlad, then it's not going to happen. But until they do, that is a very, very, very realistic possibility.
I agree.
And by the way, even if it's not for trade, which I still think that it could be, because if you're smart, if you're the Blue Jays, and you know you're not going to sign him,
mm-hmm.
or you can't, after all this time talking and trying to extend and you can't do it, then you trade him and say, let's get the best that we can get before we lose him, whether it is in spring training, whether it is at the deadline,
yes.
whatever it may be. And otherwise, the third step to that would be, like, the worst case almost for the Mets, aside from Vlad signing the extension, which you'll know by spring training, the worst case would be that you have to wait till free agency, and then it's going to be fair market, all game, or fair game.
But that's advantage for you guys.
Okay.
That's not a game that you guys are afraid of at this point.
Now, people hear that and say, yeah, but you're punting on 2025. And my response is no, because I believe that what they... Now, I don't love the idea of handing it over to the younger guys, but
uh-huh.
there's a chance Beatty or Mauricio pop like Vientos did. And if that doesn't happen, then you could try to go get a bat at the deadline. Like, there are also other options aside from just Pete or Vlad right now.
Yes, but the options are dwindling quick here. And I wouldn't say that they're punting on 25 either, but I would say this. I don't like the play call if that's what they do. To me, that's like a 3rd-and-7 draw. That's a 3rd-and-7 screen. Now, when you do a 3rd-and-7 screen, maybe a wide receiver or a tight end block somebody and spring somebody loose for a first down. Maybe do 3rd. Remember Ray Rice's like 19 or 20-something yeah. yard run, 3rd, whatever it
yes,
was. Remember
yeah,
that run
yeah,
that
yeah.
he...
Years
I forget
ago,
what
yeah.
They had a specific name for it. Maybe you do something that seems conservative or ill-advised, then you rip off a 30-yard run and you move the sticks. So it's not necessarily a pun, but what I will say is, until this is resolved, like, the offseason has not been as aggressive as I think it needs to be for the Mets.
Right, and not to bring the Yankees into the conversation, but the same way that you could say about the Yankees, and it's different because of their division or because of the American League, but the Yankees still didn't really complete their team, but they could make acquisitions. Let's say they start the year with LeMahieu at 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
They can make an acquisition or two in season
yeah.
and better their team. I think the Mets, instead of punting, it's just being disciplined. Okay, fine. We tried to bring Pete back at the value we thought he was at. He didn't want to do it. We were open to trading for Vlad. He extended. Here's our options right now. Let's roll with these, see what we have in these young kids. If this doesn't work out, we're going to go out and find a bat or two.
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. And then that's in season. So there are multiple ways along the way to improve this ball club. BT and Sal back on the fan on this Friday. We'll get plenty of football stuff to get into. As a matter of fact, BT, Hoff was just telling me, is this like breaking news, Boyle, or just reports? Now, what's this?
This is from Schefter 5 minutes ago.
Okay, Schefter 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
Raiders.
A Raider, never telling Raiders coach?
Yes. You want to take a guess?
I do. McCarthy?
No.
Okay.
Close.
Hold on. Flores?
Close.
Not Gruden again?
No.
I mean,
one more you're missing.
Who the hell am I missing? Hold on. I was just had baseball on the brain so
my
thoroughly.
Guy.
Pete Carroll? Wow. Wait, they hired him?
What is the report exactly, Boyle? Give me the exact report.
I will read it for you word for word. This is from Schefter. The Raiders and Pete Carroll are aiming to work out an agreement to make him their new head coach. The two sides are in talks, but there is no deal yet. It shapes up as an intriguing day in Las Vegas.
Interesting.
My
interesting.
Guy.
Your boy, you were on the PD Express from day one.
And the Jets couldn't even interview him? He's going to get a job on the team that Tom Brady owns? Jets turned Belichick away. They didn't even ask about Pete Carroll or McCarthy. And they still don't have a GM in place, and they're hiring Aaron Glenn.
I'm good with AG. I'm excited. And I will not allow you to dilute that enthusiasm.
I understand. This is a battle that you and I have had. I don't want to take your enthusiasm or Jet fans' enthusiasm. I just have to bring a little realism to the situation.
Listen.
I'd be so pumped if it were Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
here.
I'm more worried about the GM, you know, and we talked about this yesterday. I'm just really excited for Aaron. But the bottom line is, and I do find it interesting that, let's face it, the Jets didn't do it, but it's good enough for Tom Brady, but it's not good enough for the Jets. I know, but I do think no matter how much Aaron crushes the press conference, which will be Monday, I think it's at 1 o'clock on Monday, And the early
bank was 1 o'clock Monday for the Jets.
I believe it's 1 o'clock okay. Monday. I believe.
We'll
yeah.
probably carry it live. I would think. Yeah, right?
I hope so.
Are we allowed to carry
sure.
it? Yeah, well, whatever.
We're working on that. If we can, we certainly will. I believe we'll be able to do something with it. So yeah, that would surprise me if we don't. But the point is that I think that no matter what we say or no matter what Aaron says on Monday at 1 o'clock is. It's just going to come down to, does Woody change a little bit? Do the Jets insulate him properly? And I love the fact here that I heard this yesterday. I think it's been hijacked a bit. Mm. Like, Parcells called Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, Bill Parcells is 83. Apparently, he's still very much sound mind, sound body. God bless yeah. him. I love him, right? Love it. And he's going to kind of be a bit of a liaison, almost like a Yoda, if you will, to Aaron Glenn. And the thing about this hiring,
go for it, you will.
That was actually
those might not bad.
That
right?
was not bad.
No, it just happened.
Interesting.
I'm no Gio, but there you go.
That was a good one. I don't think Gio could do that one. That was money. But I also think, Sal, that there is a call to arms within the Jets family.
Yeah.
That I don't think I've ever seen. Like. This has been met with great enthusiasm by all the old-timers, and I think a lot of people really want to help Aaron, whether it's Mike Westhoff,
yep.
who's going to be on the practice field. So I am very excited. You already knew that, but all right, that's interesting that Carroll's going to hook up with the Raiders and see where it goes. All right.
Okay, I have...
That's your guy.
We'll do this coming up at 11, but I have some stuff along those lines
about
that we could read. About
the Jets?
Glenn. Yeah, well, just in their history and hiring coaches. We'll do that coming up at 11 o'clock. Let's get back to the calls here on Pete Alonso. Pete is calling from Farmingdale. What's up, Pete?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Pete?
First, I want to say it's great listening to you guys. There's nothing better as a fan than to listen to two other fans on the fan. So kudos to you guys.
Awesome,
great
dude.
Show.
Thank you. We appreciate
very,
it.
Very nice. Thank you.
All right. I think there's only one way to save face for Pete Alonso and the Mets, and that would be to give him 4 years at 100. Eat the humble pie, but then the kicker that he saves face with is a mutual option for another 3 at 100. So that ticks him up. If he has a great couple of years, none of this no trade status or anything like that, they're still tradable at 4 years for 25 per. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's creative. I'm going to give you points for the creativity there. But, Pete, basically what you're saying is the exact opposite of what we're thinking. Like, it doesn't even seem like they want him necessarily for one. You're trying to construct a deal that could keep him here for 7?
Well, it's definitely not going to be 7.
Well, but you heard the end of what he said, like some sort of kicker or whatever.
I don't even think it's going to be 4. Like I said,
I don't think it's going to be anything. Yeah, I think he's gone.
Me too, but the only way, and by the way, not only do we think he's gone, the Mets think he's gone. Where you and I, BT, disagree is that I think the Mets want him back. Now, maybe, and that was before when they made that offer. The 3 years, $90 million, however that $90 million comes about, whether it's options or deferrals, whatever it may be, I believe that that was the Mets' best offer. He then declined, and they said, okay, well, we get the feeling he's going to sign elsewhere because he turned down our best offer. We're not extending beyond this. Mm-hmm. So you can come up with all the negotiations you want. I have a hard time thinking the Mets are going to extend beyond that, which is why they believe Pete will sign elsewhere. In the event Pete comes back to the Mets, which I don't think is totally absurd because I don't think he's going to get a better offer. I think personally he wants to move on because he's probably hurt, which is you can understand the human element of that. But if Pete were to come back to the Mets and say, okay, is that deal still available? I don't know what the Mets would say at that point. That would be telling to say that, hey, either we moved on or we really don't want you anyway. But I think the Mets did want him back just at that number. They're not going to extend beyond that.
I think Toronto's offer is going to be, you know, and I do think Pete's going to wind up there. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope somehow there's a middle ground last second where it remains with the Mets. As much as I don't think he's great long term, I would like to see him stay. And I've said that too. But I do think when we see this Toronto offer slash agreement by Pete, it's going to be a little more than we thought. I mean, I think this is a situation where it might play, even though Boris has butchered a few of these negotiations the last couple of years, as you chronicled last segment, you're right, except the big, big time, like Soto and a few others. I think that this could be a situation where Scott says, hey, scratch my back, and I'll get somebody else here to take some of your money that you've been trying to give away for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, hey, just save face a little bit for Pete, tack on a little bit more.
He needs to.
And I'll maybe redirect somebody down. I don't know if that's collusion from an agent perspective necessarily, but that happens all the time, stuff like that.
Joe is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Yes, how you doing, Sal? How are you?
Good. What's up, Joe?
Yeah,
I want to talk about the Yankees. I know it's a long shot, but what if the Yankees were to sign Pete Alonso and put him at first base and move Paul Goldschmidt to third base?
No, I don't want Pete on the Yankees. I've said that from day one. Not interested.
You want to move Goldschmidt to third base? Why not just play Pete at third base, Joe?
Well, how about Bellinger? Let's put a lefty at third base, like Mattingly back in the day for a few games.
Joe,
Donnie actually played. Did you ever see the video of Donnie playing third base?
Did you see that? I did see that.
Dude, he turned to double play.
I mean, are you surprised? No. With Donnie, anything's possible.
I'm not surprised, but man, it looked really good.
Come back to us. I will say that for all these people who think like, oh, Pete's so great and all this stuff, the Yankees needed the first baseman. They went and got an older, declining Paul Goldschmidt in lieu of pursuing Pete Alonso.
Yeah, for $12 million for 1 year.
Okay,
I'm sure they would have taken Pete for 1 year at 25, but Pete's not signing a one-year deal.
I don't know if they would have done that either.
Yeah,
I
mean, they might have, or 1 year at 20-something. They got a one-year deal.
Well, what's the thing the Yankees are looking to do, though?
They try to trade Stroman.
Well, I'm talking about when they were when they're trying to upgrade their team this year.
Better defensively. Yeah, and Goldschmidt's better than Pete. Pete's okay, but Goldie's better.
Well, that's the point. So, like, for the Yankees, it was... And they also don't need the power, which was never a realistic fit. As much as Pete may have wanted to get the Yankees in play...
And they were pulled into the conversation.
Yeah, come
remember
on,
I never
it was ridiculous.
Bought that for a second.
Yeah, but they valued Goldschmidt better because he's a proven veteran. Even though he's on the decline, he's a good defensive player. There's some potential upside. With Pete, he wants a ridiculous price. For what? For the power. That's it. That's all you're getting with that. And even that... is not what it was at its peak.
Yeah.
Get drove in 87 runs last year.
Bad year.
I mean, in a lineup that scored. Joe was in Philadelphia. What's up, Joe?
Yo, what's going on?
What's up, Joe?
I just got to say, the Yoda impression was pretty good. Can you do Chewbacca?
No, ooh. I could, but I'm probably not going to.
Come on, give it a shot. Hold on, Joe. Hold on. Come on. There we go.
Yo, you guys got to stop backing Pete Alonso, bro. Come on. Yeah, the hardest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball. Come on.
Yeah, and that's why he's hitting 230 these days.
And Pete struggles with that.
It's all right. I'll probably hit zero, so it's good.
Yeah, but Joe, you're a caller to our show. I don't know what you do for a living. Pete's a professional baseball player. You're You're not supposed to hit a baseball. He is.
Yeah, I know, but still, come on, that's still hard. You got to give it to him a little bit. Just pay the guy. Who cares, man?
Oh,
look at all the contacts of baseball.
Why would you want another one of those?
I think this is the worst. Now, we've had some bad calls to start the show here.
This
guy just called, pay him, whatever. It's hard to hit.
It's hard to hit.
That's what he said. Pay him. Just give it to him. It's hard to hit.
There are plenty of
other... No kidding. There's a reason why I'm here and not in a major league dugout.
All the calls so far have validated the Mets' belief in not bringing Pete back. Like, there is no... You can't baseball-wise, BT. We can have the conversation about, it means more with Pete, and should they extend another year or so, where I've even been on that side at times.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, with taking the emotion out of it, mm-hmm. and just from a baseball standpoint, way before we even got to this point, you, more specifically than me, were saying you didn't value where he was. That's in alignment with where the sport is valuing Pete Alonso, and certainly David Stearns. Imagine David Stearns listening to that last call, or Steve Cohen. And the call is flat out saying, come on, it's hard to hit a baseball. There are plenty of bad contracts. Just give him what he wants. Just give him why would you? It's just horrible business. Why? Because he wore a Met uniform and had some success? Because he hit a miraculous home run that saved his season and the Met season? That's a one-off.
We'll just tell Booney. Booney is going to be in studio with us on Tuesday doing the baseball card game in probably about an hour. So obviously talk a ton about the Yankees. Can't wait for that. Yankees manager Aaron Boone with BT and Sal on Tuesday.
You want the Eagles to lose or win?
That's Booney. A curveball. Can I sit on that for a sec? But we could just basically beg Booney to beg cash to sign three or four more guys because it's hard to hit.
Yeah.
They're just getting the money.
Just sign him. This big contract's all over. Why not have another one? By the way, it is official. Pete Carroll is back. 3 years, Boyle? What'd you say? You got the details on it?
3-year deal with eight. Ooh, excuse me.
What do you get, choking on your bagel over there?
3-year deal with a team option for a fourth.
Patty Boyle trying to steal Dove's job.
Those were good, but where did we get those bagels from today?
Bagel Boyle all of a sudden. Hey, you can work every Friday as far as I'm concerned.
I think you
bagels
bagel
coming.
Boy.
Yeah, Bagel Boyle.
Hey. Where'd we get those from? Those
bagels
were good.
On the Hudson in Hoboken.
I know that, because I used to live in Hoboken. That place is good. Good job.
Phenomenal, and they're open 24 hours.
And he said one of the guys,
he
said one of the guys that works there was a former lineman for Boomer. You have his name, boy? What was
for
it?
Doug Aronson.
And he played
1 year in the NFL. Played all of 2 games for the Bengals in 87. And Boomer remembered him.
Are you serious? Wait, Doug Aronson, A-R-R? A-R-O-N. Addison?
A-R-O-N-S-O-N.
A-R what?
A-R-O-N-S-O-N.
Oh, whatever.
Okay, hold on.
And the owner, a guy named Frank of Bagels on the Hudson, was saying, Doug was saying that Boomer used to call him Fred Astaire because of his feet. He had quick feet. He was a guard. And Boomer goes, yeah, I remember that guy. He goes, he played a couple games with me.
Yeah, look at Boomer.
Dude,
the Bagels were good, so thank you.
Very good. You know when you go to, like, pro football or pro baseball reference?
Yeah.
Okay. How you scroll down and, like, you know, eventually you get to all the other stuff. His career was so short that I was scanning down that I actually missed his career. It took me right down to the frequently asked questions. How old is Doug Aronson? Where was he born? Hey, listen, he played two games, two more games than us.
Yeah, and then Bull's like, wow, could you believe he remembered it? I was like, yeah, of course he remembered it. He probably had his hands up in his, you know what I'm saying?
All right, BT, he's a guard. He wasn't a center.
Okay. BT and Sal.
Maybe he was an ambitious guard. And maybe he reached over for a little feel.
We have some Mets, there's a little Mets nugget, too, that we got to get to on the other side. Hoff was telling me that. We'll do that and continue with your calls. Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019 on this Friday. We'll get back to your calls on Pete Alonso and the Mets in just a second. The news so far that just came down a little while ago, Pete Carroll being hired by the Las Vegas Raiders to be their head coach. Three-year deal, fourth-year team option. BT, how about the loaded AFC West? Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh.
That's four Hall of Famers.
That is as good as you can possibly have within one division, which makes it sucks because it's challenging. You'd like to see these coaches. Like, I'm all in on Pete Carroll. You know how I feel. So I'll be rooting for the Raiders this year. But I love Harbaugh as well. I don't love Peyton because I hated the Saints, but you have to respect what he's done. And they obviously have the head start. And Andy Reid is a freaking legend with the Chiefs, a dynasty there. So that is going to be the best division in football. I mean, the NFC North, people got excited about that. Dude, the AFC West, you can't be more loaded than that.
Here's what's really impressive about Pete Carroll. Now, listen, I think that there's, I don't know if I'd say many, but certainly a decent amount of coaches that I position higher than Pete Carroll all time.
Right.
You know, like Mike Bill, like both Bills, yeah, Parcells, yeah, right. Belichick, Lombardi, you guys at Landry, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 that come to mind immediately without even Chuck Knoll, without even really, really, truly thinking. The old Vikings coach, God, why am I forgetting his name, from the 70s? They went to the four straight Super Bowls. Jeez. Grant? Is that right?
Bud Grant?
Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think you might.
Shula, either way.
Yeah.
But he's clearly very, very impressive. And what might be the most impressive thing about Pete Carroll, unlike every other coach, even the ones that I just mentioned, he never bottomed out to the point where it was, like, unrecognizably bad. I'm looking at it right now. So, that obviously, the Jets season didn't end well when he was here for 1 year with the fake spike with Boomer's team in 94. They went 0-5 in December. But out, and then, you know, to the Patriots for a couple of years, wins 10 games, win 9 games, 8 games. Then he goes to Seattle. It's a rebuild. Back-to-back 7-win seasons. Then, you know, 11-12. But he never went, like, 5-11, 4-12. He didn't even go 6-10 as well. You know, in 2021, he bottomed out with Seattle at 7-10. And then he comes back at 9-8. Like, he never just imploded.
This is a tough question to ask on the spot, even as I play it out through my own head.
All right.
Top five coaches that you've seen in your lifetime.
Ooh.
Like, forget about their win-loss record historically.
I love it.
I'm talking about just in general. You don't have to name me five.
Okay. No, just football or in
no, just every football. Would you put, I'm just going to ask you a question. Would you put Pete Carroll, do you think, in your top five of your lifetime football coaches?
Okay,
you can factor
now,
in college, NFL.
So that's a tricky one.
You don't
there.
Have
okay,
to, but
the,
however.
I'm just going to stick to the NFL.
Yeah, just however you yourself are like my five, you know, Jimmy Johnson, whatever
it may
be.
Well, I saw Shula at the end.
Okay.
If not even like at the very end, like I saw Shula. So Shula's on that. Of course, we all saw Tuna. So Shula and Parcells, boom, 40% of the list is done. The next, Andy Reid. Andy Reid is much better than Pete. I mean, Andy Reid's an old-timer. That's 60% of my list right there. Belichick, what am I doing?
Right.
How do I figure Bill? That's 80%. No, he would not be on my top five. If I gave it more thought, did I see, you know, I saw Walsh, but I didn't process the game on a very
top
deep
10?
Level.
Top 10.
I mean,
no?
You know, now I start to look at somebody like a Cower.
Better than Pete Carroll?
I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah,
hey, by the way, Tom Coughlin's got two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I got to throw Tommy on there.
Okay, you could.
Marv Levy went to four Super Bowls. I don't even know if he's top 10. It's
really?
Jim Harbaugh?
I would put easily Pete Carroll be in my top. Yeah, top 10, yeah. I'm not saying he's the best.
Is he in your top 5?
I'd really have to give it a lot more
thought. Well, you didn't see Shula, so because you're 5 years younger than me, so you didn't really see Shula.
I did a little bit, but not at his peak, yeah. Like, Parcells immediately comes to mind. Belichick, obviously. Point is...
It's a good question. I like that stuff.
Okay, so wherever you want to have him, and here was the point. The Jets told Bill... No, thank you. And they didn't interview Pete Carroll. So however you want to have the semantics of where you would rank Bill Belichick, who's obviously at the top of everybody's list, or at least near the top.
Mm-hmm.
Top three, I'd have to say, at worst of everybody's list, however many years you want to go back. And Pete Carroll, top 10, top 15.
Mm-hmm.
Where you rank all time, I don't know, but certainly one of the tops of my lifetime. The Jets had an opportunity to get either of them, and they didn't even want to talk to him. That is just like... That, to me, is unacceptable, unforgivable. I'm not saying you had to hire him, but you didn't even... Bill Belichick called you, and you said, no thanks. Pete Carroll was interested in getting back. You didn't even interview him of the 1,000 people you did. That, to me, is inexcusable.
See, I can deflect today, but if we're sitting here in 2 years and the Jets are wallowing in no man's land like usual and the Raiders have ascended to the upper tier of the AFC, then you were right. Aaron Glenn could also be a superstar.
Right.
I'll
say this before we get back to the Alonzo calls.
Yeah.
The idiot Atlanta Falcons did this exact thing. Bill Belichick wanted the job.
Yeah.
They were going down that road where it sounded and felt like he was going to be an Atlanta Falcon head coach.
Mm-hmm.
They turned him down and they went with Raheem Morris.
Did you ever hear why? Was it just that he wanted power, too much juice in the building? Is that
what it was? I think that there was maybe discourse in the building. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure why.
Yeah.
I think the reputation that Bill has gotten since that show that I told you about, that maybe that had something to do with it. I guarantee you Blank, who was close with Kraft, called him, and Kraft probably said, it's not, you want to go younger, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe the GM Fontenot there. Either way, Raheem Morris... couldn't manage a game out of a paper bag, or couldn't manage his way out of a paper.
Yeah, you get
the
right.
point. Yeah. And they turned down.
Couldn't hit water if you fell out of a boat.
They turned down Bill Belichick, and they took Raheem, who I like, and even at the time I was like, I get it, new age, whatever. You want a guy who's more relatable to the players. It cost them a playoff spot, potentially. If Bill Belichick was there, they would have been in the postseason, and who knows. Anyway, so that's like exhibit A of a team who turned down Bill for a young defensive. It was not a first-time head coach, but a young defensive coordinator to be your head coach.
Brady making moves. Wow, that's interesting. A little bit out of left field. Okay, interesting.
BT and Sal on the fan. Back to the Mets calls. Rick is in Queens. Wants to talk about a possible replacement for Pete Alonso. Rick?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. You guys have a great show. A lot better than I thought it would actually be, I'll be honest.
That's okay. Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
a compliment.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, with Brandon coming from Tiki and going to Sal, it's like driving a tractor to driving NASCAR. So it's two different extremes.
Well, the speed
is very
sure.
different,
speed,
for sure.
Yeah, right,
very
yeah.
different presentation. Yeah. Yep. I love T.
My question is thinking with Guerrero. If you're the Blue Jays, to me, if you can't sign him, you got to trade him before the start of the season, because I think you'll get the most for him. Because if Guerrero gets hurt, then you've lost all leverage, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah, but you have to understand this too, Rick. They're also trying to put forth a competitive season here. So I'm not saying you're wrong. And by the way, even if he stays healthy, if you deal him before 162, whomever you're dealing him to is probably willing to give up more for 162 than for, say, 57 games left.
Yeah, so I would think two things are at play. From a Blue Jays perspective, forget from the Mets perspective, where most people would want him available now. From a Blue Jays perspective, you're trying to extend him. You don't come to an agreement. You say, okay, here are our options. We ride this out, see if we can maximize Vlad being here for this year, and you never know what could happen in free agency. If we get off to a good start or whatever, ride that out. And then the other option is you weigh, is our value for Vlad best now, or the return that we get for Vlad best now?
Yep.
Or at the deadline.
Well, it's going to be now.
I don't,
that's an easy one. It's definitely going to be now.
Well, I don't know that, because what if teams are more desperate at that? Like, I don't think it's definitive. You're saying yes because you get a full year of it.
I would have no doubt it will be now.
Okay. So now if your thoughts are saying your max return is now.
I would trade him now.
Then let's say that versus trying to just win with him and salvage one final year.
Yes, but I'd also have to have a real conversation with Vlad. And I don't know Vlad personally. They do. He doesn't have Boris as an agent, so it's going to be a little bit of a different tone to the negotiations. There's things I don't know that makes it hard to give you a definitive take here, but I might definitely stand by if you trade him now versus the middle of the summer, you get a lot more now. But what I would do if I'm running Toronto, I take it up to the deadline, like he self-imposed deadline here, and if there's legitimate movement and it seems like we could get to a good place after the season, even though others will now be able to bid, I probably punt on that, and I try to reinvest next offseason. Then I don't trade him.
Right. So if they decide that they can't extend him and they say, well, our max value or max return is now, then that plays right into a team who's willing to pounce hands.
Yes.
Assuming they have what it takes to get him.
Well, that's what I was going to say. At that point, the advantage that the Mets have in terms of the checkbook is not on full display until he hits free agency. You know, the evaluation of, I always tell you this, Sal, and everybody, the evaluation of prospects is incredibly subjective.
Yeah.
You know, you might take the Padres' first prospect, and I think he's a middling, you know, maybe a 7-8 year guy who never makes an all-star team. Some other team like the Reds might say, this guy's a future dynamic player in the middle of our lineup. I mean, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So if they do trade him before the season, there's no guarantee the Mets are going to get him. The Mets are going to try. The Mets will, of course, engage Toronto because they already have.
Right.
But somebody might say, hey, we got a better package. And Toronto might say, yeah, it is better.
There is one player, I think you'll like this name. Hoff told me before that there's some rumors. Hoff, give us this report that the Mets are inquiring about.
So there was a pro day for Max Scherzer, and the Mets were present looking at him.
A pro day. Yeah, that's the last step for a veteran. Come on, come watch me throw a bullpen session, see where I'm at on the gun.
I take Max back.
What?
His presence in the clubhouse.
Max was... You can get him Max on was...
Yeah, well, no, he was toast here, but now you'd be paying him nothing.
Just move on, dude.
Presence Yankees, in the Yankees were there, too.
Yeah. Just due diligence.
So were the Dodgers.
Due diligence.
Yeah, I mean, come on. All right, BT and Max, Sal on the fan. Sure. Come back.
Yeah, let's bring back Max and not bring back Pete. That makes a world of sense. Mm. I'm sure Mets fans would be enthralled with that.
This is not going to be popular, but it's true. Max was better in the clubhouse.